Chapter 23. Unbelievable. Dozens of squirrels looked out from the sawed-off edge of the forest. They gazed down in disbelief at the casually tossed mounds of chopped-up tree. Scraps of what had once been homes now littered the earth. The smell of freshly cut wood was overpowering. Above the wreckage, the buzzpaths hung lonely and bare. "Why do they do it?" asked Charette. "Unbelievable," said Zek. Even the four friends who had known what was going to happen had trouble looking at it. "So this," said Jed to the squirrels he knew and loved, "is why we played the game. And this," speaking now to the squirrels of the new grove, "is why we came to your grove." His words fell into the silence like pebbles dropped into a pond. "I know there are a lot of us," Ted tissed this. "But we did bring our own nuts, as many as we could." "And we can bring more tomorrow," said Tishka. "I'm sure we can still find quite a lot." "We didn't have much time," said Chai. "We tried to move everyone to the closest place that was safe." "As soon as the trees grow back," said Tistis, "we'll get out of your way." "That will take a long time, I think," said Yuta. In her whole life, the growth in any one tree had been barely noticeable. "Yes," she said. "I think that will take a very long time."
I suppose you're right," Tistis said quietly. It was one of those moments where anything can happen. Something big or something small, something kind or something harsh. It's so uncertain that the first one to speak can tip it in one way or the other.
"It must seem so rude," said Tishka, "that we moved all at once into your home. Maybe tomorrow we can find somewhere else to go." "What the second squirrel says is important too. In this instance, the old man from the new grove said, 'Let us take it one step at a time, my dear. You have brought nuts. We shall see what we shall see.' So saying, he turned and headed home. Chebby was the third to speak. He said, 'I think that game idea was deuced clever. I tip my cap to the squirrel who thought of it. Getting squirrels to listen to reason is like getting a tree to drop its nuts at your front door.'" Hearing this, Yip perked up. He had already forgotten about the game.
"The game," he cried out. "Who won the game?"
All of the squirrels laughed then, and as laughing is as good as stories and games, if not better, at bringing everyone together, the moment tipped them all toward togetherness. "It's late," said one of the new grove squirrels. "Let's go home, all of us." And in twos and threes and fours, they began to make their way into the darkening woods. Only Jed and Tistis and Chai and Tishka remained. And Yip. He was still waiting for the answer to his question. Jed, a curious expression on his face, studied the silly squirrel.
"You won, Yip," he said. And off Yip scrambled, hooting and hollering. "I won! I won the game!"
"What did you tell him that for?" said Chai. "We'll never hear the end of it."
"If you think about it," said Jed, "if it wasn't for Yip, we wouldn't have known what was coming."
"I guess that's true," admitted Chai. "I guess a lot of things might not have happened."
"Well, I feel like I won too," said Tishka, quietly. "At least for the moment."
"For the moment," repeated Tistis. "What more can a squirrel ask?"
"Live for the moment," said Jed, "but bury a lot of nuts."
"We're squirrels," said Chai. "That goes without saying. That's how we roll." He turned to Tishka and said, "Race you to the grove."
"You're on," she answered, and they were off.
"I guess we better go too," said Jed. He and Tistis had not yet moved from their perches. Twilight had deepened into night.
"I feel so strange," said Tistis. "I don't know whether to be really happy or really sad."
"I know what you mean," said Jed. "I know exactly what you mean." A sliver of moon came up from behind a passing cloud. Pale silvery light threw faint shadows from the new stumps onto the earth. And it lit up small spots of white all along the edge of the new clearing. Tistis peered at the spots. They weren't mushrooms. They weren't in clumps. They were spaced out at intervals.
What were they? The scent of cut wood was strong, but another scent found her nose then, and she sniffled. She sniffled and she smiled. "What are you looking at?" asked Jed. "Why are you smiling?" "Come with me," she said. He followed her down into the clearing. "Something smells really good," he said, his nose twitching. "But I don't know what it is. Do you smell it?" "Yes," said Tis-Tis, "I do. Here, taste this." She handed him one of the white spots. A creamy substance covered one side of it. "Wow," said Jed. "What is this?" "It's a message," she said.
"A message?" asked Jed.
"What does it say?"
"I don't know exactly," said Tis-Tis, "but I think it's a nice message."
"It's a tasty message," said Jed.
"Are there any more?"
"There are," she said. They had a few of the messages, then made their way to the new grove. They went slowly. It had been a long, long day, a long few days, really, and they were exhausted. But mostly they had so much to talk about that they weren't in a hurry. It was unusual to be outside in the night, so unusual that they were unaware of the dangers. Owls, for example. But it may be that fortune decided to give them a break this once. They marveled at how the stars shimmered through the autumn branches. The sliver of moons glimmered in the deep black sky. There were sounds that they weren't used to. It was interesting how, although they could not see very well, the scent of friends, old and new, led them surely and unmistakably along. When they reached their nests, they had to laugh. The nest Tis-Tis had made with the pups, now with their parents, was a shambles. And Jed had been too busy urging everyone else along to do more than toss an occasional twig or a bit of fluff onto his own heap. "We'll do better tomorrow," said Jed. "Will you be warm enough? I can give you some of my leaves."
"I'll be fine," said Tis-Tis. "I'm so tired, I could sleep under a single blade of grass."
Jed laughed. "Good night, my friend," he said, "and thank you." "It was nothing," she said, though they each knew it was not nothing. It was not nothing at all. "Nuts to you, Jed," she said. "See you in the morning." Jed stayed out for just a moment longer. He was tired, but still too wound up for sleep. He sat on the limb and considered the stars, the unbelievableness of all these recent events, the infinite variety of squirrels. His mind was so full. He was beginning to shiver, though, and then something large rustled in the undergrowth below and sent him diving for cover, a reflex. Once inside, even the hastily made Dre captured his own warmth. It grew pleasantly cozy, and Jed grew pleasantly drowsy. Before he drifted off, he sent a silent goodnight wish to Tis-Tis. "Imagine," he thought, "having the courage to leave your grove to find a friend snatched by a hawk." "That's not nothing," he thought. "That is definitely something." "Nuts to you, my friend," he thought. "Nuts to you."